Earth. This sound file contains the spoken version of a Wikipedia article on Earth. You are listening to the second part of the sound recording, which contains sections 1 and 2, dealing with the topics of etymology and chronology. The second part begins now. Earth. Section 1. Name and etymology. The modern English noun, earth, developed from Middle English, recorded in 1137. Itself from Old English, dating from before 725, ultimately deriving from Proto-Germanic. Earth has cognates in all other Germanic languages, including Dutch, Arg, German, Erde, and Swedish, Norwegian, and Danish, Jord. In German paganism, the goddess Jord, in Norse mythology, mother of the god Thor, was named after and personified as the earth. In general English usage, the name earth can be capitalized or spelled in lowercase interchangeably, either when used absolutely or prefixed with the or the. Many deliberately spell the name of the planet with a capital. This is to distinguish it as a proper noun, distinct from the senses of the term as a count noun or verb, referring to soil, the ground, earthing in the electrical sense, etc. Oxford Spelling recognizes the lowercase form as the most common, with the capitalized form as a variant of it. Another convention that is very common is to spell the name with a capital when occurring absolutely, e.g., Earth's atmosphere, and lowercase when preceded by the or the, e.g., the atmosphere of the Earth. The term almost exclusively exists in lowercase when appearing in common phrases, even without the or the preceding it, e.g., it does not cost the earth, or what on earth are you doing? Chronology. The earliest dated solar system materials formed 4.5672 billion years ago, and by 4.54 billion years ago, the Earth and the other planets in the solar system had formed out of the solar nebula, a disc-shaped mass of dust and gas left over from the formation of the Sun. This assembly of the Earth through accretion was thus largely completed within 10 to 20 million years. Initially, molten, the outer layer of the planet Earth cooled to form a solid crust when water began accumulating in the atmosphere. The Moon formed shortly thereafter, 4.53 billion years ago. The current consensus model for the formation of the Moon is the giant impact hypothesis, in which the Moon was created when a Mars-sized object, sometimes called Theia, with about 10% of the Earth's mass, impacted the Earth in a glancing blow. In this model, some of this object's mass would have merged with the Earth, and a portion would have been ejected into space, but enough material would have been sent into orbit to coalesce into the Moon. Outgassing and volcanic activity reduced the primordial atmosphere of the Earth. Condensing water vapor, augmented by ice and liquid water delivered by asteroids and the larger protoplanets, comets, and transneptunian objects, reduced the oceans. The newly formed sun was only 70% of its present luminosity. Yet, evidence shows that the early oceans remained liquid, a contradiction dubbed the faint young sun paradox. A combination of greenhouse gases and higher levels of solar activity served to raise the Earth's surface temperature, preventing the oceans from freezing over. By 3.5 billion years ago, the Earth's magnetic field was established, which helped prevent the atmosphere from being stripped away by the solar wind. Two major models have been proposed for the rate of continental growth: steady growth to the present day, and rapid growth early in Earth history. The current research shows that the second option is most likely, with rapid initial growth of continental crust, followed by a long-term steady continental area. On timescales lasting hundreds of millions of years, the surface continually reshaped as continents formed and broke up. The continents migrated across the surface, occasionally combining to form a supercontinent. Roughly 750 million years ago, one of the earliest known supercontinents, Rodinia, began to break apart. The continents later recombined to form Pannotia 600 to 540 million years ago, and then finally Pangaea, which broke apart 180 million years ago. Evolution of life. Highly energetic chemistry is believed to have produced a self-replicating molecule around 4 billion years ago, and half a billion years later, the last common ancestor of all life existed. The development of photosynthesis allowed the sun's energy to be harvested directly by life forms. The resultant oxygen accumulated in the atmosphere and formed a layer of ozone in the upper atmosphere. The incorporation of smaller cells within larger ones resulted in the development of complex cells called eukaryotes. True multicellular organisms formed as cells within colonies became increasingly specialized. Aided by the absorption of harmful ultraviolet radiation by the ozone layer, life colonized the surface of Earth. Since the 1960s, it has been hypothesized that severe glacial action between 750 million years ago and 580 million years ago, during the Neo-Proterozoic, covered much of the planet in a sheet of ice. This hypothesis has been termed, quote, snowball Earth, end quote, and is of particular interest because it preceded the Cambrian explosion, when multicellular life forms began to proliferate. Following the Cambrian explosion, about 535 million years ago, there have been five major mass extinctions. The most recent such event was 65 million years ago, when an asteroid impact triggered the extinction of the non-avian dinosaurs and other large reptiles, but spared some small animals such as mammals, which then resembled shrews. Over the past 65 million years, mammalian life has diversified, and several million years ago, an African ape-like animal such as Aurorantuganensis gained the ability to stand upright. This enabled tool use and encouraged communication that provided the nutrition and stimulation needed for a larger brain, which allowed the evolution of the human race. The development of agriculture and then civilization allowed humans to influence the Earth in a short time span as no other life form had, affecting both the nature and quantity of other life forms. The present pattern of ice ages began about 40 million years ago, and then intensified during the Pleistocene about 3 million years ago. High-latitude regions have since undergone repeated cycles of glaciation and thaw, repeating every 40 to 100,000 years. The last continental glaciation ended 10,000 years ago. The future of the planet is closely tied to that of the Sun. As a result of the steady accumulation of helium at the Sun's core, the star's total luminosity will slowly increase. The luminosity of the Sun will grow by 10% over the next 1.1 billion years, and by 40% over the next 3.5 billion years. Climate models indicate that the rise in radiation reaching the Earth is likely to have dire consequences, including the loss of the planet's oceans. The Earth's increasing surface temperature will accelerate the inorganic CO2 cycle, reducing its concentration to levels lethally low for plants in approximately 500 million to 900 million years. The lack of vegetation will result in the loss of oxygen in the atmosphere, so animal life will become extinct within several million more years. After another billion years, all surface water will have disappeared, and the mean global temperature will reach 70 degrees Celsius or 158 degrees Fahrenheit. The Earth is expected to be effectively habitable for about another 500 million years from that point, although this may be extended up to 2.3 billion years if the nitrogen is removed from the atmosphere. Even if the Sun were eternal and stable, the continued internal cooling of the Earth would result in a loss of much of its CO2 due to reduced volcanism, and 35% of the water in the oceans would descend to the mantle due to reduced steam venting from mid-ocean ridges. The Sun, as part of its evolution, will become a red giant in about 5 billion years. Models predict that the Sun will expand out to about 250 times its present radius, roughly 1 AU, or 150 million kilometers. Earth's fate is less clear. As a red giant, the Sun will lose roughly 30% of its mass, so without tidal effects, the Earth will move to an orbit 1.7 AU, or 250 million kilometers from the Sun when the star reaches its maximum radius. The planet was therefore initially expected to escape envelopment by the expanded Sun's sparse outer atmosphere, though most, if not all, remaining life would have been destroyed by the Sun's increased luminosity, peaking at about 5,000 times its present level. A 2008 simulation indicates that Earth's orbit will decay due to tidal effects and drag, causing it to enter the red giant Sun's atmosphere and be vaporized. We now come to the end of the spoken article, Earth, Part 2. The next part of the recording, Part 3, contains Section 3, dealing with composition and structure.